Awakened to life out of the night of unconsciousness, the wolf finds itself an individual in an endless and boundless world, among innumerable individuals, all striving, suffering, erring, and as if through a troubled dream it hurries back to its old unconsciousness. Yet till then its desires are limitless, its claims inexhaustible, and every satisfied desire gives rise to a new one. No possible satisfaction in the world could suffice to still its longings, set a goal to its infinite cravings, and fill the bottomless abyss of its heart. Then let one consider what as a rule are the satisfactions of any kind that a man obtains. For the most part, nothing more than the bare maintenance of this existence itself, extorted day by day with unceasing trouble and constant care in the conflict with want and with death in prospect. Everything in life shows that earthly happiness is destined to be frustrated or recognized as an illusion. The grounds of this lie deep in the nature of things. Accordingly, the life of most men is troubled and short. Those who are comparatively happy are so, for the most part, only apparently, or else, like men of long life, they are the rare exceptions, a possibility of which there had to be, as decoy birds. Life presents itself as a continual deception in small things as in great. If it has promised, it does not keep its word, unless to show how little worth desiring were the things desired. Thus we are deluded now by hope, now by what was hoped for. If it has given, it did so in order to take. The enchantment of distance shows us paradises which vanish like optical illusions when we have allowed ourselves to be mocked by them. Happiness accordingly always lies in the future, or else in the past, and the present may be compared to a small dark cloud which the wind drives over the sunny plain. Before and behind it all is bright, only in itself always casts a shadow. The present is therefore always insufficient, but the future is uncertain, and the past irrevocable. Life with its hourly, daily, weekly, yearly, little, greater, and great misfortunes, its deluded hopes and its accidents destroying all our calculations, bears so distinctly the impression of something with which we must become disgusted, that it is hard to conceive how one has been able to mistake this and allow oneself to be persuaded that life is there in order to be thankfully enjoyed, and that man exists in order to be happy. Rather, that continual illusion and disillusion, and also the nature of life throughout, presents itself to us as intended and calculated to awaken the conviction that nothing at all is worth our striving, our efforts and struggles, that all good things are vanity, the world and all its ends bankrupt, and life a business which does not cover its expenses, so that our will may turn away from it. The way in which this vanity of all objects of the will makes itself known and comprehensible to the intellect which is rooted in the individual is primarily time. It is the form by means of which that vanity of things appears as their perishableness, for on account of this all our pleasures and joys disappear in our hands, and we afterwards ask astonished where they have remained. That nothingness itself is therefore the only objective element in time, i.e. that which corresponds to it in the inner nature of things, thus that of which it is the expression. Just on this account, time is the a priori necessary form of all our perceptions, and if everything must present itself, even we ourselves. Accordingly, first of all, our life is like a payment which one receives in nothing but copper pence, and yet must then give a discharge for the copper pence by the days the discharge is debt. For at last time makes known the judgment of nature concerning the work of all the beings which appear in it, and that it destroys them.
And rightly so, for all that arises is worthy only of being destroyed. Hence were it better that nothing arose.
All is full of grief.
Thus old age and death, to which every life necessarily hurries on, are the sentence of condemnation on the will to live, coming from the hands of nature itself, and which declares that this will is an effort which frustrates itself. What thou hast wished, it says, ends thus desire something better.
Hence the instruction which his life affords to everyone consists, as a whole, in this, that the objects of his desires continually delude, waver, and fall, and accordingly bring more misery than joy, till at last the whole foundation upon which they all stand gives way, in that his life itself is destroyed, and so he receives the last proof that all his striving and wishing was a perversity, a false path.
Then old age and experience, hand in hand, lead him to death, and make him understand, after a search so painful and so long, that all his life he has been in the wrong.
Our life is a false nature, 'tis not in the harmony of things, this hard decree, this uneradicable taint of sin, this boundless Upas, this all-blasting tree, whose root is earth, whose leaves and branches be the skies, which rain their plagues on men like dew, disease, death, bondage, all the woes we see, and worse, the woes we see not, which throb through the immedicable soul, with heartaches ever new.
Heaven, that one might read the book of fate, and see the revolution of the times, how chances mock, and changes fill the cup of alteration, with divers liquors, oh, if this were seen, the happiest youth, viewing his progress through, what perils pass, what crosses to ensue, would shut the book, and sit him down and die.
Count o'er the joys thine hours have seen, count o'er thy days from anguish free, and know, whatever thou hast been, 'tis something better not to be.